City housing for Keith. That'd be,
oh,
I think
so they would be
Keith
losing
would
in housing news.
Send messages whenever I can, or you may to that
information
that's always not to sell a basement, so you and it looks like we're going to go past 7:30.
Okay, I mean, that's just assuming
that because it's just you presenting this.
And that's what
I'm not in there now. Do you remember the first year about? I didn't guess if it's a new or
that property.
And we said we they, the neighborhood did not. There was some question about changing.
Yeah.
We were showing.
But you have the product line.
You know, if we changed it. So
where is it?
That's.
Usually, is it already is it zone commercial or zone?
Yeah. On the Manchester property.
Which one?
The Manchester property that came up. Remember the
one that's zoned.
Zone residential, sure. Right? But it's
commercial.
Commercial.
Yeah, commercial.
Yeah. It's commercial on the
land. It's that one right there, isn't it?
Yeah, that's one right there, yeah.
Oh, man.
And the neighborhood.
Didn't want to. Yeah, it's not part of the open, right?
Yeah, that's not.
Leave it. But he still has his own.
He was interested in having.
But he still has his own. I mean, his zoning is not changing. Well, that's fine.
Yeah. I don't know. We didn't hear from him in the neighborhood.
So what it means to me is that if they want to go commercial, they could come back in for an amendment. Then they would know what it is. I assume they would do that.
But it's such a thing. It probably makes more sense.
Well, yes, because now it's prohibiting this guy from using it.
And there is something, there's something in the attached piece. Oh.
Rebecca, just to confirm for your neighborhood plan, only one presentation, right? As well.
No, I was going to give 6 or 7.
All right, good evening. It is 6:01. Dan, do we have a quorum? We do. All right. Good evening. Welcome to tonight's meeting of the City of Tucson Planning Commission. My name is Chris Ortiz-Pino, and I'm the Vice Chair of the Planning Commission. The responsibilities of this body are to advise the Mayor and Council and the Planning and Development Services Department on the adoption of long-range plans, policies, specific plans, and regulations that affect land use and development. Will staff please call roll?
Yes, Commissioner Cassidy.
Here.
Chair Wellett. Commissioner Zagier. Commissioner Martin.
Here.
Commissioner Young.
Here.
Vice Chair Ortiz-Pino.
Here.
Commissioner Schwartz.
Oh, here.
Commissioner Wirache. Commissioner McKenzie. Commissioner Kinney.
Here.
And Commissioner Lampo. Let the record reflect that a quorum is present.
All right. Call for item number 2 and the approval of legal action report from April 17th, 2024. Vice Chair would entertain a roll to or a motion to approve.
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any nays? Here's the motion passes. Call for item 3, Broadway Broadmoor Village Neighborhood Plan Update Study Session. Would the staff please provide their presentation?
Good evening. I'm Rebecca Roop. I'm a principal planner with Planning and Development Services. Tonight, we're going to give you an overview of the Broadmoor Broadway Village Neighborhood Plan Update, which is a plan amendment. Is this my job to click? So following an assessment of the original Broadmoor Broadway Village Neighborhood Plan, the Neighborhood Association formed an update committee in April 2018. I believe we have some members of both the Neighborhood Association Board and the Plan Update Committee with us this evening. Through further assessment and public engagement, the committee focused on an update that celebrated the original plan goals and objectives that had been achieved and identified new goals and objectives to address current areas of concern. Committee reached out to PDSD during the updating of the plan to discuss their progress, ask questions, and share draft materials for review and comment. February of 2024, the completed draft plan update was presented at a Neighborhood Association meeting for a vote by members to determine whether the plan update was ready to submit to the city for formal review. A majority of members voted that the plan was ready. There we go. Mayor and Council initiated the update of the Broadmoor Broadway Village Neighborhood Plan on October 18, 2022, at the request of the Neighborhood Association. The reasons the neighborhood wanted to update the plan were primarily these two: to recognize and celebrate the 1988 plan goals that had been achieved, as I noted before, and to acknowledge and address current issues and community-wide goals. Just put in a few of the achievements, the goals met. I think probably many of you are familiar with these, like the Treat Walkway and the historic designation, which happened on February 18th, 2021. The Broadmoor Historic District was listed on the National Register of Historic Places. And then key concerns that were identified during the public outreach included quality of life, sense of place. Again, the historic designation was a focus, light and noise issues. Some of the lights from the university and noise, I think, from Davis-Monthan and others and activities. Urban forests and appearance, the native canopy. Safety emergencies, such as fire, disaster, water, and neighbors supporting neighbors during those times. Environmental resilience, retaining rainwater, sustainability. Traffic and transportation, connectivity for transit, bike, walk, safety, and then land use, which is a focus of this commission, and great interest in retaining the R1 and R2 zones, single family and multifamily, and not having the height go much above 25 feet. So background on the original plan, the mayor and council adopted the Broadmoor-Broadway Village plan on March 28, 1988, and the plan was amended once on February 4th, 2015. Land use policy direction for the neighborhood is provided by Plan Tucson, which is the City of Tucson General and Sustainability Plan, ratified by the voters in 2013. And the Arroyo Chico area plan adopted by Mayor and Council in 1986. The plan is organized into five chapters, with the key chapters being the following. One on the history of the neighborhood, which is very interesting. One on the 1988 plan and the goals that had been achieved at the outcomes. And then perhaps most relevant for this commission are the plan, goals, objectives, and actions. And the chapter on the goal, policy, and actions, or that should have been objectives, they use the word objectives. The focus areas were quality of life. These very much mirror the concerns that were heard through the public engagement, urban forestry, safety and managing emergencies, environmental resilience, traffic and transportation, and land use and development, which again is the section of the neighborhood plan most often consulted by PDSD and that you probably hear most often about. The land use and development section includes two goals as follows. Work with the city and developers to ensure that any new development inside or adjacent to the Broadmoor-Broadway Village neighborhood does not unreasonably and negatively impact existing residences. The goal is followed by 9 objectives and 1 action, and balance neighborhood and community-wide interests for future development within and adjacent to the neighborhood. And this goal is followed by 2 objectives and 2 actions. This section also includes 2 maps, the current zoning map and a future land use concept map, which is consulted by PDSD. So here you see the current zoning map and the future land use concept map side by side. You'll note that the current future land use concept map is quite similar to the current zoning map, with the largest area of the neighborhood, the residential area, left as is. The future land use concept map is accompanied by definitions of the land use designations: low density residential, medium density multifamily residential, mixed use, and the Sunshine Mile Urban Overlay District, which was adopted in 2021. The definitions include references to the zones that address the types of land uses sought, as well as references to the section of the Unified Development Code that provide detailed information on specific uses allowed and the applicable development standards such as height and setbacks. And here is on the left is what was titled the recommended land use map from the 1988 Broadmoor-Broadway Village neighborhood plan, and then again the future land use map from the plan update. And you'll see that the future land use concept map and the recommended map are quite similar, with the difference in the future land use concept map being obviously the Sunshine Mile, the area that is encompassed in this neighborhood along Broadway, and then in the northern area along Tucson Boulevard, you'll see that it shows medium density multifamily, which is essentially a reflection of the underlying R2 zoning very close. So they're very similar. So in conclusion, the Broadmoor-Broadway Village Neighborhood Plan update is consistent with policy direction in both Plan Tucson and the Arroyo Chico Area Plan. It allows for consistency with current city initiatives, projects, and land use tools, and it helps provide some additional clarity for land use decisions involving rezoning, special exception, and variance cases. I just wanted to, after the neighborhood had voted that they thought the plan was ready to go to formal city review, PDSD, working with the neighborhood, did hold a neighborhood plan on May 6th. It was noticed. It was a hybrid meeting. It was a meeting to provide information on the draft update. 15 people attended in person and 5 via Zoom. Following a staff presentation, attendees were invited to ask questions and provide comments. Along with statements of support, some repeated concerns included that the plan update could lead to development that would impact the neighborhood as historic resources. The plan update used weaker language than the 1988 plan. The neighborhood association did not allow proxy votes, and the future land use concept map was not available early enough. Additional, some attendees expressed concern about the Sunshine Mile overlay, which, as I noted before, was adopted in 2021. And with that, staff recommends the Planning Commission set this item for a public hearing on July 17th of this year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rebecca. Would the applicant like to present any information to the commission on neighborhood plan? Is there an applicant?
I'm sorry, Barbara. that's what's wrong with having my back to you. Dr. Becker is here this evening to talk a bit further about the startup and the development of the plan update, along with the public engagement. And I will let her take it from here.
Right. And good evening, Vice Chair.
Well, just one now. David Holder is here online. I believe there are supposed to be a couple more. Meredith Arison and Richard Royty both were. Oh, I missed you, Richard. I'm sorry. So he's here in person. So we've got a good group here. Plus some of our neighbors in support. At the general meeting in the fall of 2018, after the committee had been created, we went to the residents that attended the general meeting, and we talked about the concepts, key issues, things that were a concern to them in the neighborhood. And after that meeting, we sent out a couple of surveys to define our focus areas. And as you can see by our focus areas, they aren't your typical ones, because we decided that we were, as a neighborhood, more interested in looking at what we as neighbors could do for each other and for the betterment of our neighborhood than sitting back and saying, what is the city going to do for us? So a lot of our plan really is focused on activities and things that we could do to help ourselves. We did take time off from the plan. I will tell you, because we had a setback with COVID, and then We did get active in the overlay district, the Sunshine Mile. So we took time away from the plan. But again, in the fall of 2020, we presented a draft of the plan to the general at the general meeting. And between 2020 and 2022, we also did surveys. We responded to emails, and we even held an open in-person meeting in Melvin Plaza because we were just coming out of COVID. And all that, all the input and everything went back into the plan. Between October 22 and December 23, we presented the city planning staff for our plan for review, and we addressed issues back and forth with them, such as the maps that are in our plan. And then, as you know, in February, we did hold a meeting and allowed both virtual and in-person. And the vote was to bring this before you. So that's it, if you have any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Okay, now let's open this up to the commission to ask any questions, or if there's another speaker on behalf of the applicant.
On behalf of the applicant, no. Am I okay to, no, I oppose this. Am I okay to speak on it?
Yes, sir. So this is a study session.
Yes, I understand, but she was allowed to make a presentation.
So it's a study session, not a public hearing. So because they were the applicant, they were related to that, they were able to make a short presentation. You are welcome to speak at call of the audience.
Oh, that'd be fine. Yeah, that's what I intended. Yeah, yes, thank you.
All right. Does the commission have any questions?
I just had, you know, one quick comment. Can you hear me? Okay, great. So I read through it. First of all, good job. I think you did a good job putting it together. I think that there were a few things that might have been a little bit missing. Maybe so one of the notes that I made, so you said discourage pass-through traffic. You made a few comments about, you know, walkability, expanding walkability. But then within the actions section, there wasn't really much teeth there. So I just made a note, advocate for traffic calming measures such as chicanes, pinch points, speed tables. So that could work for goal F1 and E2. Let's see. The other one, so you have a section on hazard mitigation. In your goals, so it's goal C2, and I just made a note, should consult Pima County Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan. That was approved in 2022, and it specifically lists land use regulations as a tool to combat climate change. So those are my only comments. Thanks.
All right. Any commissioners online that would like to ask a question or a comment? Seeing none, because we can call for a motion to recommend to bring to a public hearing.
I can make that motion. What's the recommended date for the public hearing?
Commissioner Cassidy, the recommended date is July 17th.
Okay, I move that this item be placed on the agenda for a public hearing on July 17th.
I second.
All those in favor of setting the Planning Commission public hearing for July 17th, 2024, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. All those opposed, say nay. Okay, motion passes to set the Planning Commission public hearing on the proposed Broadway Broadmoor Village Neighborhood Plan update for July 17th, 2024. I'd like to call the next item, Houghton East Neighborhood Plan Amendment Study Session item. Staff please make their presentation.
Good evening, Vice Chair Ortiz, members of the Commission. My name is Gabriel Slater. I'm a lead planner in the long-range planning team of Planning and Development Services, and I'll be presenting some information for you on the proposed update to the Houghton East Neighborhood Plan. This is a concurrent plan amendment and rezoning. A combined neighborhood meeting was held by the applicant at least 30 days, noticed at least 30 days prior to the meeting. Procedural notes, Planning Commission holds a study session and a public hearing with a recommendation, and the zoning examiner hearing for the rezoning associated with this case has been scheduled on August 8th, 2024, after which Mayor and Council will review both items at the same meeting and accept or reject the proposed amendment and approve or modify or deny the rezoning application. There's a location map for the Houghton East Neighborhood Plan. As you can see, it takes up the area between Speedway and 22nd on the north and south and Houghton and Tankerberry Loop Road on the west and east. The subject property is located at the southeast corner of Broadway and Houghton, and it's indicated in pink here on the map. The Houghton East Neighborhood Plan was adopted by Mayor and Council in 1985. It's had two amendments in 1990 and 2016. Both of those amendments were related to increasing the non-residential allowed height in specific locations. So the amendment in 1990 increased non-residential height at the northeast corner of Broadway and Houghton to 28 or 35 feet, depending on the area. The associated rezoning for this plan amendment expired in January 22, 2000. The second plan amendment in 2016 allowed non-residential height of 26 feet at the northeast corner of Houghton and 22nd, and this was related to a rezoning to Pad 32 for this location, which is the 22nd and Houghton planned area development. So the applicant has requested an amendment to the text of non-residential policy 2D, adding the language and southeast corner to the description of locations with modifications to their allowed non-residential height. And it adds entire policy 2.F, which reads, allow non-residential buildings on the 1 acre parcel located at the southeast corner of the Houghton Road and Broadway Boulevard intersection to have a maximum building height of 30 feet with architectural embellishments that exceed no more than 35 feet. Here's an aerial detail of the project location. You can see it's the empty parcel there at the southeast corner. It's located in front of a shopping center. And if we look at the zoning and land use map, it's in the middle of this group of commercial services and C1 zoning here at this intersection. The applicant has provided a preliminary development plan demonstrating that they are meeting the scenic buffer setbacks from the scenic arterial Houghton Road, and that they've got their mechanical and vacuum equipment enclosed and on the side of Houghton Road instead of on the east side to limit noise intrusion to the more rural neighborhoods to the east. So the plan amendment, as requested, will allow a height of 30 feet with an allowance of 35 feet for architectural embellishments. In Mr. Carwash's case, this is typical of the sort of tower structure at the car wash locations. The applicant understands that a Board of Adjustment variance is still going to be required for embellishments over 30 feet, as the scenic arterial overlay sets a height limit of 30 feet within 400 feet of the scenic route. And the applicant plans to pursue that at the time of development package submittal, knowing that if they are unable to get that Board of Adjustment variance, they will simply limit the height of the structure to 30 feet. All noise-generating vacuum equipment is positioned to limit impacts to residential properties, and the site is 371 feet to the east and 383 feet to the south from the nearest residential land use. The car wash tunnel design features a varied roof line. It helps to differentiate the visual plane on the scenic route and also directs rainwater to on-site collection basins. So the neighborhood plan has been amended twice, both times to allow for greater building heights. The proposed amendment is consistent with Plan Tucson and the Houghton East neighborhood plan. The proposal is consistent with other land uses at the intersection of Broadway and Houghton. The Silverado Shopping Center, which is south and east of the project site, was developed in 1998. That one already has a building height of approximately 30 feet. And the proposal provides compatibility with and services for the surrounding neighborhood. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission set this item for a public hearing on July 17th, 2024. This concludes my presentation. If you have any questions, I'll do my best to address them. And I believe the applicant has a follow-up presentation also.
Thank you, Gabriel. Would the applicant please like to present?
Good evening, Chair Tuzi Pino and members of the Commission. I'm Linda Morales. I'm with the Planning Center representing Mr. Carwash on this project. Again, since I was here last time with y'all. I do have a full cadre of consultants and team members here with me from Mr. Carwash and the consultant team. If there are any questions, I may consult with them as we go through. Mr. Slater did a really great job of explaining a lot of the points that I wanted, so I'll keep my comments fairly brief and try not to be duplicative of those. But this is an aerial of the corner in question, with the pink as the hard corner of Broadway and Houghton is the acre that's in question and the acre that's the subject of this request. Again, it's part of the Silverado Plaza, which is a Safeway shopping center. It's surrounded by the parking lot on the east and then the PAL to the south. And then all the other corners are also commercial. We have the Galaxy Theater complex to the east of us on the southeast or south to the west of us. I'm dyslexic today. To the southwest corner of the intersection, you've got some banks and storage uses on the northwest. And then was a Walgreens, is now a Dollar Tree on the northeast corner. So very much a commercial area. Again, so this site actually was developed for many years as a gas station. And interestingly, that particular gas station, if you look at the development plans that were approved, that had a car wash use in there. For whatever reason, that car wash was never developed on the site, but it did operate for many years as a gas station on the corner. It's since been demolished, and this is the look of the site now, just a pad. A vacant pad on the corner. The other significant change that's happened on this corner is the Broadway widening. And so with the additional lanes of Broadway that came through, there is an additional turning lane and then a pretty significant drainage channel that straddles the property line that accepts drainage. And then there's also the multi-use path that comes along. So quite a bit of change along that frontage of the Houghton Road has occurred since that gas station was there. And again, you can see completely surrounded by the parking lot and has the Safeway to the south. You have the drainage, fairly large drainage culvert just to the northeast of the site, and then a drainage basin as you come down to that. And then, and like I said, you can see the drainage basin that runs along the Houghton frontage. Again, we're in the Houghton East neighborhood plan, or the HENP as we call it. And this plan is primarily a residential plan. And then it's very prescriptive as to the two locations that are allowed for commercial, and it's the two intersections of the major arterials, Broadway and Houghton, and then 22nd and Houghton. So again, we meet the land use recommendations for non-residential use. That's absolutely allowed by the area plan. The area plan requires us to have access to at least one arterial. We actually access both the arterials with the site plan. We're using the existing driveways that were there from the gas station, so no change there. It asks for security, parking lot lighting. All of those were prepared to provide with the proposed site plan. Requests buffering with vegetation, with mature trees and understory. We demonstrate that on our site plan as well, which I'll get to in a minute here. And other design elements to buffer adjacent uses. Well, we do have that in there. We do have a landscape buffer there, but we're buffering, again, a parking lot. As Mr. Slater said, it's almost 400 feet to the nearest neighborhood to the east. And we did have a neighborhood meeting, and one representative from that neighborhood did come out but didn't express any concerns with the proposal. My clicker didn't work for a second. This shows you just the fact that the entire intersection is currently commercial zoned. We would be going on this particular parcel right at the corner from the C1 to the C2 is the rezoning request that is being processed concurrently with the plan amendment. And again, the last implementation technique of that plan amendment that I didn't address yet is the subject of why we're here tonight, and that is to change that building height restriction that's in the plan. And if you go back to the aerial, it's a little easier to see on here, but if you'll as again Mr. Slater pointed out, there were two plan amendment requests. One was for where that Dollar Tree is now on the northeast corner. That one was changed to 26 feet back at the time. The Safeway was built at about 30 feet. So, and then if you look at the other uses across the street, they're outside of the neighborhood plan, so they're not subject to that. So basically almost every commercial use that's on here already exceeds that 20 feet. And I think it's just when there were good intentions when the neighborhood plan was developed at that 20 feet, it's just very, very difficult to build commercial uses under that height restriction. And then the other amendment that happened down at the corner of 22nd and Houghton, I actually processed that a few years back, and that was for a Fry's shopping center. And again, they were not able to build that commercial use within the 20 feet. So we were successful in processing that plan amendment to increase that height. So essentially none of the non-residential have been able to build in there. We are requesting that we increase that. We would like to increase it to that, again, 30 feet with the 35 feet for the architectural embellishments. And again, as Mr. Slater pointed out, we are prepared to go for a variance along with the development package, which is the timing of that process. We need to go through this process, do the rezoning, and then go through the development plan and the variance. So we have some entitlements ahead, but that is the proposal. This is the site plan. And as you can see, we do meet that 3-to-1 setback from Houghton. Houghton is the only one of the two arterials that is the scenic corridor. Broadway is not. So we set the building back to meet that setback. It still allows us to have the access. So cars can come in from both directions on the site, which is nice. They can come in off of Houghton and come up and go through the vacuum area and then back around to the bays and then through the tunnel, or they can simply come in off of Broadway as well. And the site plan, as you can see, has the landscape border that comes around where skirts the drainage channel and the northeast corner and then comes along the side. So it'll have a nice attractive edge to it where it borders the parking lot of the Safeway Center. And with that, I am happy to answer any questions the commission might have of me.
Thank you for your presentation, Ms. Morales. Does the commission have any questions for staff or the applicant?
I do.
Commissioner Martin.
Thank you. Question for staff on the major streets and routes, isn't there a requirement for parking vehicular use areas for 10-foot landscape border and a 30-inch screen? I understand the issue with the 30-foot buffer that should have been there that got wiped out, but
just looking at the code MSNR, I think requires a 10-foot landscape border and a 30-inch screen. You know, the map says landscape area, but there's not a stick of landscape in that 30 feet. So I scaled the plan, and it looks like there's room to get a 10-foot landscape border along that edge. That just stood out that there are no trees along that parking area.
Commissioner Martin, are you referring to the that green shaded area on the west side facing Houghton?
Yes.
So that is an existing drainage basin that has some vegetation growing in it already.
If you look at the site analysis and look at the pictures that they put in their site analysis, there's nothing.
And at the time of development package submittal, the proposal will need to meet all applicable UDC requirements in terms of landscaping.
I thought the site analysis said that it couldn't be planted in the drainage area. And then I'll cite now said that the landscaping would be added as practicable. So,
Commissioner Martin, we could actually double check with the zoning and landscaping and address that back at the public hearing.
I think under in Cine Quarter and under 537, it talks about vehicular use area, and if you look under vehicular use area next to MSNR, it requires a 10-foot landscape border and a 30-inch screen. That might help you if you do get a variance, because if you go to 35 feet, you'll need 105 feet from the property line for your setback. So that's my concern, is that there's, if you look at some of the pictures, it's about 180 feet with no screening except for that fence along that corridor. Thank you.
Chair Ortiz Vino, Commissioner Martin, thank you. And next time I will get some more recent photos, because there is some vegetation that's growing in that wash. It was a fairly recent, it's been what, a couple years now, I think 3 years, time flies, that those improvements have been in, and they've grown up. And you're right, the aerial that we have doesn't particularly show a lot in there, but we do have a landscape border in between that and that first parking area, albeit not the full 10 feet.
There's 13 feet on the east that doesn't need to be there. So I think you can find 10 feet in your site plan too.
We did shorten the vacuum bays to be able to push that further over and still do the palace, but we will look at that between now and the hearing.
I looked at the Tanque Verde site plan as far as the width of the 3-lane drive, and it's not as wide as what's on this plan. So it looks like there's some room to work out something. So thank you.
Okay.
Commissioner Kenny.
Mrs. Morales, thank you for your presentation. I have a real quick question on the site plan. I don't know if you could pull that back up.
Sure.
I may have missed it, but where on that building footprint might that 35-foot architectural element be?
Chair Tuzupino, Commissioner Kinney, there are a couple of our areas as you come in that are particularly, it's at the northern edge, I believe, I'm looking at Mr. Carwash, it's the northern end of the building where the 35 feet would be, the tower. I hate to call it tower, it's 5 feet extra over. Yeah. Yeah, so generally toward Broadway.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Just a quick follow-up clarification. That's on the tunnel itself, the building?
Yes, it's part of the actual building, the structure on the site that has the vacuum or the car wash equipment in it. Yeah.
All right. We'll throw out a question too. So resolution 22541 that updated the plan in 2016, what was the impetus for that? You said that you brought that forward.
Yes.
I agree, 20 feet is pretty restrictive. Yeah. So what exactly brought about that amendment?
Sure, TZ Pena, Commissioner Lampo. That was for a Fry's shopping center. And they, I believe, needed the 26 feet, and they were going to actually have some architectural embellishments that would take it a little bit over that as well at the time. They worked really hard on that one with the neighborhood, where the way that site laid out, it was unfortunately the closest to the neighbors to the east. So we went back and compromised quite a bit and landed on the minimum that they needed, which was that 26. But yeah, that was a very, very controversial, very hard fought zoning and plan amendment that we went through on that.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Morales, what is the maximum height allowance in the C1 zone? Or staff, I'm sorry.
It's the 30 feet plus the feet. Architectural embellishments.
Mm-hmm. And in the C2 zone, the same?
But 40 feet.
40 yeah.
So you're asking
testing my memory here. 40, yeah.
Five less than what's allowed, yeah. What the amendment would be for?
Correct. Yeah. With the architectural, yeah. And 40, you could still go up a little bit with the architectural embellishment as well. Except the scenic corridor is really the catch in that whole thing, where we needed to do that because of the scenic corridor, as Commissioner Martin pointed out, the setbacks and there's a strict height limit on the 3-to-1. So that's the subject of the future variance.
Gotcha. All right, Commissioner Kinney.
In the summary, the neighborhood meeting, only one person showed up, and I imagine that's partially because you're only, 380 feet from the nearest house, so probably not too many people got noticed. But the previous Fry's rezoning you did was, like you said, yeah, very contentious, and so there wasn't that much interest in this one, though?
No, so the neighbor that did show up is this never shows, but the two homes that you see right in the yellow as you come across, I believe she was the easternmost of the two of those. And again, she had, the only concern she expressed was that the rest of her neighborhood didn't come out.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
One more quick question. So so this is under non-residential development policy 2E. Heights of up to 35 feet are allowed further northeast of the intersection when it can be demonstrated that the impacts from an increase in height on view corridors and view sheds can be mitigated through site and building design. Maybe it would be good to see a view shed analysis, something along those lines. It just seems like that's almost what it's asking for here, but just thought.
And Chair Lamp, I believe that's part of our rezoning request, that we need to show that as well. So we'll be prepared for that. Thank you.
Are there any questions from the commission online? Take that as a no. All right. With the completion of the discussion, going to open up this for a motion. Set the Planning Commission for public hearing on the Houghton East Neighborhood Plan Amendment on July 17th, 2024. May I have a motion for a vote to propose Broadmoor Village Neighborhood Plan Amendment public hearing?
I will make a motion to set a public hearing for a date certain of July 17th, 2024 for agenda item 4.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor of setting the Planning Commission public hearing for July 17th, 2024, say aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed, say nay. Okay. Sounds like the motion passes. Set the Planning Commission public hearing. Thank you all. Call for the next item. Item number 5, PDSD staff updates, staff announcements.
No announcements at this time.
No announcements. All right. Call for item number six, future agenda items.
Yes, commissioners, a few future agenda items that you just set related to that. The Broadway Village neighborhood plan update, public hearing, and then the Houghton East neighborhood plan amendment, public hearing on the 17th. There are several bills that have just recently been passed by the state legislature, which, you know, eventually will require us to make code amendments and things of that sort. So those as well, but those are a little further down the road. So there was a bill related to accessory dwelling units, another one related to middle housing, one related to kind of rezoning timelines, and another one related to kind of adaptive reuse. So just to put that on your kind of schedule for the things in the future. But that's about it. Thanks.
Dan, I had a question. I think one of them was related to the central business district. Is that
so? Yeah, there's the middle housing bill has a several kind of requirements related to it. One of which is that it would apply to a mile within a mile of what is the central business district, which is defined by the municipality. But yes,
thanks. Would it be within our right to request just kind of a legislative update on those items that were passed and that would be coming for future agenda items? I've been following some of them, but not too aware of most of them.
Yeah, I think we're preparing to provide an update to Mayor and Council and get direction from Mayor and Council. So we can definitely update the Planning Commission after we get that direction in terms of what the next steps will be for local implementation of those new state laws.
Great. Thank you. All right. Item number seven, call to the audience. This time I'd like to offer the public an opportunity to speak on any subject not listed on the current agenda as a public hearing. If anyone would like to speak, please raise their hand.
Okay. So I can't talk about the Broadway Village?
It wasn't a public hearing, so yes, I believe you can.
I can? Okay. Is a representative from the city attorney in the city clerk's office here? Okay, ma'am. Here you go. These could be passed to the four commissioners that are present here. If this could be passed to the four commissioners that are present here. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. That won't. City clerk, let's give me this one more. Okay. What I'm presenting to you is quite a contrast that you've heard tonight from Ms. Ruop or Rope. In the
Could you speak up some?
Sure. Yeah. In the folders or the envelopes that I've given you, there is a page that describes the material that's in there. The first document is a letter between residents that opposed this plan and then Council Member Kozajic and City Attorney Mike Rankin. And it starts from outlining that in January, and by the way, this letter was sent at February 20th of this year. It starts out with a January 2018 Mayor and Council study session. In that study session, it was discussed the hierarchy between a general plan, a neighborhood plan, and an area plan. And so I have the material in there, how that discussion went, and I have a Dropbox account, which you will be able to, just on your own website, pull it up. What was discussed between City Attorney Rankin and Council Member Kozajic? Okay. In that, the council member made a comment, it would appear that the neighborhood plan is superior. And so the question comes, what happens when you have a plan that was developed and approved by mayor and council in 1988, and you have a general plan that was passed 8 or 10 years ago, that's in conflict. And so what you have to do is you have to change the neighborhood plan. Now, we've heard over the time that the neighborhood plan is not superior. But this letter here, that's reference document number one, you will see the development of this discussion. I'm also going to transit out slightly, if you would have patience with me, into the Sunshine Mile. There was an opt-out option that was to be made available. Well, the neighborhood never knew about it. Councilmember Kozajic was aware of that because one of his staff members is a resident and attended the monthly board meetings. Okay, there were 116 signatures that were submitted to the mayor and council petitioning them to reject the Sunshine Mile. You could imagine if we knew there was an opt-out, that 116 signatures would have said we're opting out. That record was never published by the city clerk's office. That is why I'm presenting these documents to you, because we have a history of documents not being submitted for a governing body's review. Body's review. What this is all about, and it was recorded or written in a statement of a meeting between residents, a Zoom meeting between residents, Councilmember Kozajic, and Fletcher McCusker of Rio Nuevo. And one of the things in that meeting was, we're doing this to circumvent a vote Arizona voter passed referendum. That is now ARS 121134. It's basically diminution in value. And we basically, if a zoning ordinance is passed and it causes the decrease of a property value, the claimant can submit a bill and negotiate with the city. And if there's not an agreement, then it can go to court. And Councilmember Kozajic said they were doing all this stuff in part to reduce the city's liability to this ARS. Now, it also outlines that first document, the first document. It outlines the actions of the board, our neighborhood board. And you don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to take the board's word for it. You don't have to take the PDSD's department. What I've given you is enough documentation that you can read for yourself and come to your own conclusions. What happened? What was done? What wasn't done? For instance, we're talking about the proxy voting. Well, the city of Tucson, if you check the PDSD, the Neighborhood Association website, the city of Tucson did not recognize the bylaws passed by this neighborhood board in September of 2022. The original bylaws are still on the website. And it's not a matter of oversight, because the documentation that I've supplied you shows that this website, that particular link to the current bylaws, was looked at in March of this year. So there's a reason, and I'm not going to go into tonight. We believe at least one of two things: either not made its way there, or someone in the city government realized we don't want to put it on the website. We believe that was Mr. Rankin's decision. I can't prove it. Okay, so where does this go? We had enough proxies to overturn or prevent this from being put and submitted to this commissioning body. Okay. Again, and we don't have it. We were not allowed to present that. We were also said, well, then absentee ballots should have been submitted or been given to the residents so that they could submit it. And I'm going to tell the board tonight, in case there's any disagreements, that these meetings have been recorded. So some of them, so what we're going from here is that the second document is basically an email chain between the people that opposed it and Councilmember Kozajic. During the September 2022 board meeting to pass at that time the proposed new neighborhood plan and the bylaws, it came to the point that three TPD officers were assigned to the meeting. So again, you don't have to take my word. You don't have to take anyone else's word. It's all here. And I haven't had much sleep. So if I've made mistakes, again, that's why the material is there. I'm going to add just if you could bear with me, a few other comments. What was shown today on the screen, the existing and current zoning was not shown for the original plan. I've given you a copy of the original plan, and as I've shown on page 10, it shows what the current and existing zoning is. It's B1 and B2A along Broadway, terms that are not used anymore. What she showed you was the high density was what was recommended, but it's not the existing zoning. I'm also going to ask that the May meeting held last month at Ward 6, that audio visual be posted, because I would like to then point out comments when the meeting in July 17th. If it's not posted, then I've made a records request to the city to supply me with a link to that meeting. To let you know, the PDSD people did not even know that a C2 zoning was 44 units per max per acre. They did not know that. Kind of strange. Yes, I know. That's why I think that the commission should ask that this be posted. We also, we would like the city to calculate if every commercial business along the Broadway section, we know what the total acreage is, you know what the maximum number of units are, we ask them to provide that number. From there, you're going to know about how many cars are going to be parking. Where are they going to park? Well, what's being proposed is on the streets. And so,
thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Can I actually ask you to state your name and
John McNally.
John McNally.
Yeah.
Okay. It seems like there's obviously some resources that the attendees of the Planning Commission online don't have. I feel like they should.
Well,
made available.
Yeah, I had one for the city clerk, which was my intention.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
Are there any more speakers to call the audience?
Chair Ortiz Pino, I believe Susan Husband has requested to speak prior to the meeting.
Okay. Are they online?
Yes.
Okay. Looks like we have one additional here in the audience as well after that.
Yes. Shall I go ahead?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. Well, good evening, and thank you for giving me permission to speak at this meeting. I just wanted to point out that in the previous presentation, the six aspects of the plan were reviewed, and as Dr. Becker mentioned, you can see that this focus is more on the neighbors and the neighborhood and things that we can do to make our neighborhood a pleasant place to live. There has been a small and vocal group of neighbors that oppose the plan. Their contention is that they did not know about the meetings or notifications and were not provided with an opportunity to give input. And this is simply not the case. There were many meetings and notifications were given in a variety of ways, including in a printed newsletter, in emails sent by the board and by the different committee members, and also on our neighborhood listserv. And I attended two or three of these meetings back in 2018 and 19 when we first started working on this concerning environmental resiliency, because that's a topic that that I'm interested in. Also, the draft plan was available for many years on the BBVN website. And so there was ample opportunity for everybody, if they wanted to know what was going on. This group also has objections to the zoning, which I think we just heard some of that. And for this reason, they don't want the plan to be passed. Well, as far as I know, the zoning is not determined by our neighborhood or by our neighborhood plan. And so there are many of us that are anxious to move ahead with this plan and start to implement the projects and activities that are in it. And so we're eagerly awaiting its approval. And I hope that you will, I hope that you will approve it tonight. Or not tonight, I'm sorry, after all of the meetings are over. But anyway, I just wanted to speak for the plan and that it has the support of a lot of the neighbors, and we're really ready to move forward with this after 6 years of working on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Husband. Are there any other members of the audience who'd like to speak?
Hi, thank you for your time. I'm Jimmy Wolf. I live on Devon in the neighborhood. And I just wanted to thank the planning committee, our neighborhood plan that brought it together. The old plan was from 1988. And if you look through it, most everything in there has been accomplished. So we need to move forward because we live in a great neighborhood and we want to keep it that way. Like Susie said, I totally agree with. There are a few, seven in the neighborhood that do not want this to be pushed through. One was here this evening. And I apologize, I don't have like a little packet to give you, but I just think that I hope that you all move forward and approve the plan. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else from the audience? With that, I'd like to call item number 8 and request to adjourn the meeting. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.